I was going through some things the other day, and I ran across an old little joke here. So, a police officer in a small town stopped a motorist who was speeding down Main Street. When stopped, the officer started to speak. He said, "But officer," the man answered, "I don't have time for this right now," the officer said. "Just be quiet," snapped the officer. "I'm going to let you cool your heels in jail until the chief gets back." "But officer, I just want to..." "I said, be quiet. You're going to jail. Keep quiet." A few hours later, the officer looked in on his prisoner and said, "Lucky for you that the chief is at his daughter's wedding. He'll be in a good mood when he gets back, and he'll be easy on you for a change." The guy said, "Don't count on it. I'm the bridegroom." Second Timothy, please. Chapter 3. Verse 15. We're going to look at four or five pretty well-known passages of Scripture quite quickly and then make some applications in our life. No rocket science tonight, reminding us as we get ready for the summer of a very important area of our life. Look at verse 15. "And that from a child," or in 2 Timothy 3:15, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So, from a very young child, Timothy has had the Scriptures. In his case, it was the Old Testament, wasn't it? And it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration from what source? Who gave us the Bible? God. Inspiration means God breathed. We believe that when the Bible was spoken, God used the personalities of individuals, but he wrote exactly the words he wanted to us to have the not just the principles or the template of ideas, but every word of the Bible is God-breathed. It's inspired. Or we might use, maybe in our idea, it's expired. God breathed out those words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How much Scripture? How many? Is there any part that's not? Do we get to pick and choose? No. God put every word exactly like he wanted in the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then he tells us four things here. It says it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, may you remind us as we look at these Scriptures tonight that we would understand afresh the importance of your word in our life. Help me as I speak to be able to communicate and liven this truth up in a new way, a brand new sense of it in our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All Scripture is given, every single part. You know, in our generation, one of the things that is so important is that we be under authority. And we know that we need to be under the authority of God. But God has given us a direct communication as Christians that he wants us to understand, and that's in his word. His word speaks to us. When we have any doubt of what to do or how to proceed or the principles of life or the statutes and what is right and what is wrong, the Scriptures settle it. It's interesting today that we are going through a period of time right now, and it seems like we're in a pivotal time in America concerning the authority of Scripture. Let me tell you exactly why. That has to do with the homosexual revolution. One of the things, if you see anybody that's getting quite brazen and speaking up about their homosexuality, they says, "I suppose it says in your Bible." And there you have it. A direct confrontation of the authority of what is right or wrong in the Word of God. Once you and I begin to pick any issue, I don't care what it is, and we say that we know more than God or God's Word on an issue, then what issue after that matters? all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And when God speaks, guess what? It's settled. It's settled. You know, I find that's an issue that's out there, and you're seeing in our society a real kickback in this area. But what does the Bible say about drinking? What does the Bible say about people's lives in a lot of areas? You say, well, Pastor, it says this and this and this. You know, we can say amen until we have an issue that we're in, and all of a sudden we want to reinterpret Scripture. I have seen that so many times in my life as a pastor. People that for a long time stood really strong on certain scriptural principles that everybody say are settled, and then their life runs into that problem, and all of a sudden they change their mind and the Bible's out of date. See, the Bible doesn't change. We think that we can override it, and that somehow we should change or upgrade or have Bible 101 and Bible 2.2 and 2.3 and like every other version or app that we download onto our computer or our phone. God's Word is settled forever in heaven. And when it speaks on issues, this is the direct authority. Can I tell you just remind you, why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Well, a lot of reasons. He gave them to us. But one thing is to convict us of righteousness. God wanted to show us what was right and what was wrong, because man kept trying to reinterpret what sin and what was right and what was wrong. And God says, you have violated these simple 10 things. And if you look at the 10 commandments, how many things in our society today do people now want to sort of white out this commandment and white out that commandment and rearrange that commandment? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Secondly, it's profitable for the Christian. When we submit to the Word of God and we allow it to change and bring our life in the right direction, then it is something that will be beneficial or profitable or be a great help to the Christian. What would be the opposite of that? When a person doesn't follow underneath the Word of God, it's not very profitable. When you and I know what the Scripture says, I don't care whether it's a positive or a negative, and we then refuse to bring ourselves on, the profit of the Word of God does not come in our direction. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Four basic areas within the Christian life, we all know them. The first one is what? Doctrine. Doctrine is the framework by which we believe. It's that. I always like to think of it like a skeleton on a human being. It's that which helps us to take a stand in a dark generation. Can you imagine if you had your body and all of its flesh, but you had no bones in your body? It's the muscles and the tendons attached to the bones that help us to leverage our way through life and lift and pull. And when we have a strong framework by which we believe, this is how we're able to get things done for God. It's profitable for the framework of belief and for doctrine that we will build our life on. Second of all, it's profitable for reproof. Reproof is that which points out the things in our life that need to be corrected. Does your life need to be corrected regularly? That's why when we read the Bible calls itself a mirror, does it not? We get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we say, whoa, where did that come from? And we get the comb out, and get the brush out, we begin to get the washcloth out, guys get the shaver out, whatever, and we start to rearrange ourselves. It reproves us for that which needs to be corrected, rearranged, or whatever it is in our life. So the Word of God is good for that framework, a benefit, and then it reproves me that which needs to be taken away. And then in a positive way, it gives me correction. Correction is not only tell me the wrong way to go, but it tells me the right way to go. God tells me how to bring my life into conformance to the will of God. It conforms me. It rearranges me, and the Word of God corrects me. And then it instructs me in the will of God. For instruction. And what is the result? We know that. Verse 17. Look at it a little closer. that the man of God, do you like to think of yourself as a man or woman of God? Thank you, Pastor Stephen. I'm glad you like to think of that. Do you like to think of yourself as a man or woman of God? Yes. That the man of God may be perfect, mature. The word of God applied to a life is like feeding children. You're going to mature. It's going to grow you up. It's going to put you under the tutor of the word of God. That the word of God, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished or completely equipped unto all good works. You know, as Christians, we know that we're not saved by good works. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says we're saved unto good works. And so as I read the Word of God and I study it, it's going to give me that framework by which I can build from. It's going to reprove that which needs to be taken out. It's going to correct that which needs to go the right direction. It's going to give me the instructions to do the will of God. And then it's going to build me and give me every tool. Thoroughly equip me, thoroughly furnish me. It's everything I need to be a successful Christian in the will of God. Amen? So the Word of God is very important. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1, 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That word, more sure, could also be translated an absolutely sure word. We have a Bible that you know for sure is God's word. You know, today there's a proliferation of a lot of translations. And there's a lot of people trying to dilute the word of God in such a way to make it, you can almost hardly see the Word of God in there. You know, God's Word was given in an absolute form so that we could know God's mind. If I could just know the mind of God, we have a more sure word. Whereunto you do well that you take heed to. If I were putting that in our vernacular, it would be like this. You'd be smart if you listened. You'd be wise if you just stop and take time to listen to the Word of God daily. You do well to take heed thereunto, as unto a light in a dark, a light that shineth in a dark place. Do we live in a dark world? Yes. And in America, as we see the Word of God being erased from place to place, it's almost like somebody's turning the lights out in America. We've had a bright light. I think it's interesting, the first thing that immigrants have seen for the last, what, 100 and some years as they've come to New York City, to come into Ellis Island, to immigrate into the United States, was Lady Liberty with the torch, the light beside the Golden Gate door to enter in America. I can't help but think that is almost a symbol of God's light shining in this country. As we come into a place where we have a light that shines in a dark world, and you know, in a lot of the world that haven't had Christianity, the people, the Bible, we find in the world that people are in such darkness, they're looking for a place of relief and light and relief. And that comes in a place where the Bible's been. We have in a dark world, this light has shined. Look at verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So it's important that we don't take the Bible, when it says private interpretation, means I'm not supposed to twist it in ways to make it say what I want it to say. So it's important that I learn to study the Word of God in a way that finds the mind of God as he would speak to me. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has brought the Word of God to us. Listen, in a congregation, we want the mind of God. We want to see Christ. We want the Holy Spirit to have full sway. It has a lot to do with our attitude towards this book that's right here in this book, right here in our hands this morning. Turn over to Psalm, please, if you will. 119. Psalm 119 is worth every once in a while spending a week or two studying. Besides Dr. Hodges, who could raise their hand and tell me the theme of Psalm 119? Okay, Brother Sergio, what's the theme of Psalm 119? It's the Word of God itself. If you have never studied as a person, your own self, just really taking time to study Psalm 119, I challenge you, the next time you have a little break and you're headed towards something new in your devotions, mark this down. Write it somewhere in the front of your Bible. Study Psalm 119. It has the distinction of being the longest chapter in the Bible. It's very important. Almost every verse speaks about some issue relating to the Word of God. So let's look at Psalm 119, and let's look at just a few choice things there. Let me get there, please. Verse 9 is a classic. Shall we read verse 9, 10, and 11? If you can quote it. Try not to peek if you can quote it. It's good for you once in a while to wake up your brain. You ready? Take a peek if you need to wake it up and just sort of get reminded. Psalm 119, verse 9. Here we go. Wherewithal shall a young man, by taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, thy word, that I might not sin against God. Four things that I would point out to you in these verses. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And before we talk about those four things, how can a person keep his way clean? How can I keep clean? Talks to the young man, to the young Christian. What is the basic things? I find four at least things we need to do. It says, first of all, by taking heed. What does heed mean? When the Word of God speaks, I not only hear it, but I do it. I heed it. Have you ever seen a police officer out directing traffic, and maybe they're there because there's some unusual need? In other words, they're trying to tell people to go this direction because the light's out or something like that. And so you come down, the police officer, he motions, he's got a whistle in his mouth, and he motions to you go like that, and you don't move as fast as he thinks you should. You ever see him? He sort of gets agitated. All of a sudden, he goes, and if you don't move quick, police officer's going, boy, he blows it again, you don't get it. He just, like, he gets lit up. I mean, he almost comes to that front bumper of your car. This way, I said. I mean, he just lets you have it. You know, I wonder how many times God will say to us, you just heard a good message, and you walk away and you don't even let it have any effect. You opened your Bible that morning and you did read it, but you didn't heed it. There's a difference between reading and heeding. First of all, we need to take heed to the Word of God. Can you think recently that God has spoken to you on an issue from the Word of God and you just let it slide and you didn't take heed? Can you think recently when God's Word spoke and it did change your life or your spirit about something, then you heed it. First step, take heed. Notice the second thing, by taking heed thereto according to thy word, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Number two, we need to seek the Word of God. When I was a kid, we played hide and seek. Boy, 99! 100. Sit here under this tree. Is that what the guy does that's the seeker? Man, he begins running around. He pulls things back. He looks behind trees. He lifts up cans and lids. I mean, he pulls back curtains. He looks behind the brushes. He looks up in the tree. He's looking everywhere. Hide and seek. That's the way we ought to be with the Word of God. We get up in the morning and we're just looking. Wonder what God has for me today. Wonder what God has for me. Seeking the Word of God. I'm seeking answers. I'm going to get. I'm going to receive. I want to get something from my Bible. I come to church to heed and seek. I seek tonight not just to come because it's prayer meeting, I'm supposed to be here, but I wonder what God has for me tonight from the Word of God. So we seek the Word of God. Look at the third thing. He says, oh, let me not wander from it. So I found it. God spoke to me. Okay, I settled it. I'm going to heed that. Then don't move. Don't wander. Oh, we quote all the time the psalm that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I have said over the years, one of the things is so true, a lot of what needs to happen in Christian's life is not new knowledge. It's doing what we already know in our life. It's not seeking new and fantastic new little nuances in the world. That which I've already received, I'm not going to wander from it. Wandering, what is wandering? You just sort of get off course. You just drift away from it. Have you been wandering away from things that you used to be right on top of, committed to, knowing that you believe them? This is how a young man, a young Christian, matures. He heeds the Word of God. He seeks the Word of God. And when he finds it, he doesn't move from it. He doesn't wander from it. And then the fourth thing, it says there in verse 11, the very special things that you find, what does it say? Thy word have I hid. Hide it in your heart. Christians, I will say the biggest thing for me is it takes a lot of work to memorize Scripture. Who will say amen? But when you hide it in your heart, it's there. You have it. It's nailed down. We had a man in our church many years ago that he was teaching in our adult class some, and he used to always, when he was teaching, he'd say, well, let's put down another Scripture anchor here. He liked to use that term, a Scripture anchor. Have you ever tried to anchor a boat? You ever tried to put up a tent and you put down the tent pegs in the ground? Why do you put that there? So the tent doesn't move and the boat doesn't wander and that it stays right where it needs to be. And whether there's a storm that pops up in the night or whatever, your tent doesn't blow down the hill. The boat isn't out in the middle of the lake. You've anchored it into the ground. We need to hide the Word of God. We need to anchor the Word of God into our heart. Drill it down deep. Not just sort of know, but memorize things. And let me challenge, if maybe you haven't really started a good program, or maybe it's been a long time, can I give you a challenge? So many times it seems overwhelming to get started. Would you say that's right? Then just start somewhere. Start simple. A big rule that I have found that I've tried to teach my staff over the years that are around me, I've tried to teach it to my family, different ones, don't emphasize what you can't do. Do what you can do. Start from the known. Could you memorize one scripture in the month of June? Could you do that? Then set that as a minimum goal. That's better than zero for the whole year. Maybe you could do a little better than that. Maybe you could do one every 2 weeks. Just really get it down. I'm just saying, start to hide it. And quit trying to say, it's too big for me, I'm too busy, I can't. Find a verse that you've wanted to get in your heart and start to get it anchored. And at least get one. And when you get it anchored, then get a second one. And I think what you'll find, and this is true most of the times, when you start from the known to the unknown, pretty soon you get rolling. Pretty soon that project really gets moving. And let's take the thought of this passage of Scripture. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The last point is when he really begins then to anchor himself in the truths that he's received. Do you want to anchor your life? Do you want it to be clean? then we need to heed, to seek the Word of God, not wander from what we know, and then start putting down some markers. Start putting down some anchors and really piling them in deep into our heart and move on to the next thing. Look at Psalm 119, 105, please. Psalm 119, 105. Let's read this out loud together. You ready? Psalm 119, 105, go. Thy word, the word of God's going to show us the way, isn't it? It's a light and a lamp. When I was getting my master's degree, Dr. Stuart Custer was one of my favorite teachers. Every day that he came to class, he brought an illustration. I mean, he'd bring like something in his hand illustration. I remember one day he brought in this little teeny clay pot. It was no bigger. I have a copy of one in my office, just a little teeny sort of red clay lamp, that size. He said, young man, when it says in Psalm 119:105, many people believe that this pot is exactly what it was talking about. They didn't have flashlights, but they had little lamps, put a little oil in it. They would take this lamp, and when they would go between like villages at night, they would strap this on top of their foot. And as they would walk down the way, it would give enough light, not to show like 10 yards out, but so that they could take the next step and not step in a pothole or trip over a log. And he then went back to this passage of scripture and he said, look what it says there. Thy word gives you enough light for your next step. And you know, that really makes reading your Bible every day pretty important. You want to not make days that are misstepped? Then get your Bible out and turn the flashlight on. Then he talked about the part that says, it's a light unto my path. He said, that's more like a torch. And he said, you can imagine if you were traveling several miles between villages at night, you probably couldn't afford to use a torch because it used up too much of the material and all of the rest. He said, the torch was for times when you really were navigating some very special things. You'd then take your light off of your lamp and you'd light the torch and you'd really try to see your way ahead of you. It was a ravine or something. You need a little further light. He said, then you see here, God gives us the daily light and he gives us light to know his will down the road. And what a beautiful picture that is. As we read the Word of God, God revealing the framework for the future and giving me the light for the next step in my life. Thy word is a light unto my feet and lamp unto my path. I hope that you are taking heed to that. Look at Psalm 119 again. I want you to look at verse 33. If you mark your Bible, will you mark something in all of these verses for me, please? I'm going to ask you to circle or mark a phrase in every passage. Verse 33, teach me. Verse 34, give me. Verse 35, make me to go. Verse 36, incline my heart. Verse 37, turn away. Verse 37 again, quicken. Verse 38, establish thy word. Verse 39, turn away. Verse 40, quicken again. I'm not going to preach this passage of scripture to us tonight, but I want you to go back if you have time and let's just look at this for just a second tonight. God, teach me. Lord, give me the understanding. Make me then to go in thy path. Incline. Make my heart want to go towards your word. Turn me away from that wrong way and quicken, enliven me towards the healthy way in my life. And then he says, establish thy word. Then turn away the reproach of all of those that don't have the word of God. And then last of all, quicken me in thy righteousness. This is what the word of God does. That little section right there is very special, and it gives a good plan for us. So let's put all that together, and I'm going to give you some challenges tonight as we would close. Do we think the Word of God's important? Is it absolutely essential for the Christian to grow and be strong and clean and healthy and righteous? Would we all agree to that? Do we struggle with it? Oh, yeah. So, number one, establish a daily time. Don't be satisfied to do less than a daily time. It's not the worst thing in the world. If you miss a time, it's not like you're going to stop breathing if you didn't read the Bible one day. But can you see how many times we've used this illustration, you have enough light for the next step? And I go 3 days without any light? Do you see how important that is? A daily time in the Word of God. Number two, a consistent time. Consistent is more than just doing it regularly. Consistent means quality to it too, as well. I have a consistent time in the Word of God. I have a good, healthy time in the Word of God. Do you have consistent devotions? Well, that's really probing, isn't it? Are your Bible study, devotions, quiet times really quality consistent? Hit and miss? What describes you? Number three, be systematic. And I put down here to keep the T's going. If you notice, the first one was have a daily time, have a consistent time. Number three, have systematic tools. Systematic tools. Get things that'll help you to open the Word of God up. Can you imagine if you were starving and all of a sudden you looked in the cupboard and there's your favorite kind of soup? I don't know what it would be. Say, all right, I got soup. Okay, how do I get this open? You take your teeth and you gouge on it. You bang it on the side of the cupboard. Yeah, it's not going to get you very far. But you reach in the drawer and you start pulling out tools, don't you? Or my wife, I got her something when she had her hand all messed up from surgery. It's one of these little things you put on the top. You press a little button, it goes, and it's got no little slits or things in the corner. It's no sharp edges. And then it pops off, and she just pours the soup or the can into something. Boy, are we spoiled, okay? But you know, there's a lot of tools out there. I'm not going to preach a message on the tools that are available, but today, aren't there 1,000 apps that you could have? You have your Bible dictionaries, you have your concordance. Somebody's got a telephone call somewhere, I don't know who it is. Maybe we could help turn them off, but it is. Okay. But are you using tools? Let me tell you why that's important. The Bible is a closed book to a lot of people. And there's a lot more to get than we're getting. I know we can just read it and the Word of God will do a lot. But there's so much more when we use the tools to turn it up. My brother was telling me recently, there's a farmer nearby that's been using a shortcut method to plant his corn. They just come in the ground and they drop these little, what they call chisel plows in. They don't turn it over and bring up the dirt. They just drop it in and it just cuts in the ground about that much. And you can just get the seed in the ground. And it'll work fine for one season, maybe two seasons. But the ground needs to be tipped over, the weeds need to be put down underneath, so that it just brings up new nutrients and all the different things. And you gotta get the regular kind of plow. You ever seen the old kind of plow, the regular kind, where it has the big old, like, just this curve on it, and you drop it in. And when you drop that thing, it turns the dirt over 16, 18 inches deep like that. That's a tool, not just a little chisel. We need to learn to turn over earth and get into the Word of God when we're going through the Word of God. And then number four, when I approach the Word of God, I need to listen. This is important. I need to have a teachable spirit. I go to the Word of God to be taught. I want God to show me. When I was a young teenager, first learning to have my time in the Word of God, I can remember I went through it in a perfunctory fashion. In other words, I did what I was told, but I got nothing from it after a while. You ever been there? And my pastor said, you need to go expecting God to speak and not be satisfied when He doesn't. And that really changed my devotions. I can't tell you how many times after that I would start to read my Bible, get 4, 5, 6 verses down. It's so dead. I mean, it's like brass. It's like rock. My pastor said, back up and go back and say, God, I want you to speak to me. And if you'll speak to me, God, I will listen. And so a teachable spirit, Lord, I want you to interact in my heart. And then number 4, treasure it up in your heart. We already talked about memorization, but that's what treasure it up means. Get notebooks and start keeping notes. Review. Let me give you a plan that maybe I haven't talked about in a while. If you're reading through your Bible, let me give you a simple plan of reading a chapter a day. Maybe you could read this in 2 chapters a day this way. Read this chapter the first day. The second day, before you read the second chapter, review what you read the first day and tick off the highlights to warm up your heart, and now read the second chapter and mark what you're going to mark. The third day, make a super quick over the first chapter, make a quick review of the second chapter, now deeply plow the third chapter. And go like that through a passage of scripture, and then go back over those chapters, and the little diamonds that have popped up, you know, those really special, special truths, go back and pick one or two of those to memorize. Memorize the diamonds. I mean, the keepers. I mean, the ones that really leapt off the page to you and that are going to change your life. Memorize one or two of those. But learn how to really treasure up the Word of God. And then the last thing. Go into the Word of God with a target. And the idea of a target is this: I want to know the will of God. I just want to speak to God. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. You say, I'd like to speak to Jesus. How many of you like to speak to Jesus? Well, I can tell you what. You can walk in his pages every day, and he'll talk right back to you. Target fellowshipping with Jesus. Let's spend time with him, the living Word, as he speaks to our heart. I love to spend time with my wife. She's my favorite friend. My apologies for that. When we get time to go, I like to go with her on visitation. I like to sit and talk. I'll rock and chair with her for an eternity. I'm glad to spend time with my wife. Just as much as I treasure and target time with my wife, more I want to spend time with Jesus. I just want to be with him. As I've gotten older, and I have to admit I'm starting to use my app more on my phone, often I wake up early in the morning. I wake up 4:30 in the morning, can't go to sleep. How many of you have trouble with that sometimes? I'll pull out my Bible and just start spending time with the Lord. Not just reviewing, but just start reading the Word. And I tell you what, instead of those night hours be tossing and turning, they've been very sweet if I just spent time with Jesus. Target your fellowship with Christ. Be jealous of it. Seek it. Word of God. So important. Is there anything new that we learned tonight? Not particularly. But I hope you've been reminded, hey, you got a whole summer in front of you. Your schedule is going to be a lot different. Hey, students, you're going to be freer to do things. You're not going to have history and science and all that kind of stuff to do all summer long. Get into a good pattern of studying the Word. Hey, us that are the leaders of our homes, moms and dads, you want some light? You want to keep your family clean and pure? You want it to be profitable, all the things we've talked about? You want your family to know about Jesus? You want them to mature? Get into the Word of God. Let's make a new, just refresh. Maybe we've wandered away from our time, the preciousness of it, the zealousness of it. Let's get into the Word. Let's be a Bible studying group and know the mind of Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to know your mind, to do your will. Help us to treasure your word. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed.